Book of Jude. I wanted to say chapter, but there is no chapter in Jude. It's just Jude. And we know we have 25 verses here in Jude. And we are making some progress through it. And we have come to several verses here that was prophesied about from the book of Enoch. And the book of Enoch is a part of the Apocrypha. It was not a book that was included in the canon of Scripture. You may find it in those old big pulpit Bibles, like I said, the preacher who's behind him, big pulpit Bibles, and some of those had, like some of the books of the Apocrypha in it. But Jude uses it here because he says that even Enoch, and Enoch is spoken about within the Scripture, that Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. He didn't die. He went on to be with the Lord. He walked with God and God took him. And that was it. Just like Elijah, and Elijah went off in the chariot of fire. Enoch being one of two individuals that never died. And we know that Jude uses him because he says, and the Jews were very well aware of Enoch. And Enoch had a lot to say about the last days and what the last days would look like. And Jude pulls this out of his writings and said there in verse 14, it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam," that's how far back Enoch was, he's seventh generation, "from Adam, prophesied about these men," meaning those individuals that were apostate, who would at one time be saying that they were orthodox, professing an orthodox faith, and then just going full 180, just flipping it right around. "That Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." And that's what we engaged in last week about the second coming of the Lord. We know that God, the next great event is going to be the rapture. The church will be taken away. And then they will have the tribulation. The Lord will return and establish his kingdom for a millennia. And then following that 1,000 years, we know that God, Christ himself, will judge. There will be a resurrection of the dead, of what we would call the resurrection of the unjust. We leave that out at times in our theology because we think about the resurrection of the just, you and I, born-again believers. Yes, we're going to rise again from the dead. But also noted that the wicked are going to rise again from the dead too on that day of judgment. They're going to come back to life, and God will judge them in their bodies that day. And then at that moment, we know that then they will be cast eternally into hell at that time. So we see that the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to do what? And that's where we come into that second coming of the Lord, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He says in verse 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now, here is these verses. We're not going to go through all of them tonight, but we're just going to slowly eat away. But at verse 19, that's pretty much where Jude himself, he ends that of his main thesis of his book or his letter, because it's about these apostates and how corrupt they are and the warning to the church about them. But tonight, what we're going to look at is when we speak about the judgment to come. And last time we did talk about the second coming of the Lord and what that itself looks like. But tonight, when he says in verse 15, is the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints, verse 15, to do what? To execute judgment. And tonight we're going to look into that of why judgment. Why? Let's pray together for a moment. It's like you fed Israel with manna from heaven. Your word feeds us spiritually. It strengthens us, encourages us. At times convicts us. Lord, it shapes us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we'd ask now your blessing upon the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of your word. Speak to us, Lord, as only you can. May we know and sense the power of your Holy Spirit, and may we go from this place a different people than how we come in. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we again, as our come upon the world, the unsaved world. That's what we're looking at here. For us as believers, we know that we will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have to give an account of all the good and the bad that we have done while in the body as believers. Our sin is covered. Our sin was covered at Calvary, but we're still held accountable for what we do in the here and now. That's clear in the Scripture. We don't escape that. That's why we want to stay as a repentant people, that if we err in any way, whether it's in omission or commission, that we look to honor God in our everyday living. But this judgment is coming upon those who have never believed upon that of the person of Jesus Christ. So that is how this judgment and its end, when we look at that, if people have not had their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, they will be judged for their deeds. Okay? Very clear in Scripture. They will be judged by their deeds. Not because they had faith in Jesus Christ, because the one who had faith, their sins are covered. It's been taken care of. They've been forgiven, forgotten, separated far as the east is from the west, sea of forgetfulness, to be remembered no more. These people, as it says about how Enoch prophesied, he's seventh from Adam. These men, who are these men? Well, Jude takes it not just as a general view of people of who have never believed or had faith in God. And for us in the New Testament, it comes to, we speak about the work, the person and work of Jesus Christ. But we see that he pulls this out and he says, these men, meaning not just in a large general sense, but these apostates, these individuals that would come in speaking things that would sound very spiritual, religious, Christian, but then at some point they would turn away from the faith, from the orthodoxy, and they would do a 180 and go in the totally opposite direction. I see videos and read article after article about these people who once professed that of an orthodox faith, and then we see as time has played itself out that they have turned away. They renounce it. They're like, no, my eyes have been opened to bigger things now. We have some foolishness that goes on, and they're very adamant about it. So that's why when people ask about, we talk about the security of the believer. And I believe in the security of the believer. I believe that if you're saved, you're saved. That's just, you are. You are what you are. If you're a saved person, you're saved. If you're not, you're not. There's no in between. You either are or you aren't. And saved people will persevere. Saved people, that's why we have the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. Saved people will continue to persevere. Are they going to be perfect all their life? No. Are they going to do everything correctly? No. But saints will, they may fall, but they're going to get back up and they're going to get it right and keep on moving toward Jesus Christ. That's what saints do. Saints persevere. God gives us that strength if we are truly saved by the Spirit that dwells within us. God continues to move us in that direction. He continues to work in our lives as such. And we are, if we're truly saved, we are going to be a constantly repentant people. With that, we see that these individuals, that they started seeming very real, very Christian, but noted that they turned. And with that, that the Bible tells us that God Himself, these men, as it speaks, as Jude says here, quoting Enoch, that he will execute judgment on all. He prophesied about them, and all, meaning all in general, but also from Jude using this verse that coming from Enoch, these men, these individuals who once were of orthodox faith, but how they in turn now have gone against the faith, and they are leading others to do the same. It's what we see with apostates. So noted here that when we talk about the reasons for this judgment, and Jude outlined a few things. Judgment, and we'll read this again, to execute judgment on all, and there's all that's used several times, and another word in there, the ungodly. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Meaning him, meaning God. We could try to narrow it down to Christ, but the harsh things are being spoken of, certainly of God and his Christ. So we see that when we speak about this, four times the word ungodly is used. And the word itself is pretty much like we note here, it means godlessness. Godlessness. So there is no whatsoever reverence for God in these individuals. They are not revering God. They're not fearing God. They are godless in these things of which they would do. As we read here, he's pretty clear. They've got these, he's going to convict them all. He's going to bring conviction. They will be convicted of their sin before God. And as he notes, he says that they have these ungodly deeds, which they have committed in ungodly ways, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken. So two things, right? We talk about what they will be judged for. Why the judgment? Well, deeds and words. That's what we see. And again, not exhaustive, but what we're looking at here is deeds and words. And everything of which they did and everything which they said, because keep in mind this whole idea of all, nothing's going to be left undone. Nothing's going to be just kind of swept under the rug. God's not going to forget things. God says that all, everything is going to be covered here. All the deeds of which they have done in an ungodly way, a godless way that they had God not in their mind, and all the words of which they had spoken, all the godless words that they've spoken that they're going to be judged for. If you just back up a bit, we note again, we talk about these individuals. And we speak about that of their godlessness, because see, they wanted to sound like they were godly. That's how when we talk about orthodoxy and being orthodox in the faith, and then we're going to have these spiritual words, we're going to have the Christianese that we can speak about, the church stuff. But it had a, is what the Bible teaches us, it had a like the picture of A form of, is what the Bible tells us, a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. It can look like it's godly, but there's no power in it at all. We can talk that talk. We can, I've shared my testimony before with about Crystal when we first started dating and we got talking church, and I had enough church in my life probably to be dangerous, and we would talk church. I could talk some church because I've been in church, but I didn't have God. There's a grand difference. I could talk church things, but I did not know the Lord. And that's what we see with apostates. They do not know God. They know doctrine. They know that of the dogmas of the church. They may speak these pompous words, but there's no power. They lack God. That God did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the who? Of the ungodly. And that's the same word that is used, the godless. He brings the judgment upon the godless. Then in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Godless, living as without God, acting as if there is no God, going about doing. Verse 7, the Bible says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of who? Of ungodly men, godless men, people who have not God in their lives. So we come back and we recognize that, yes, there is going to be a judgment. They are going to be judged for their words and their deeds. Words and deeds. But it appears that as we read Jude here, he makes more out of words. He makes more out of, and not saying again, because God is going to judge all things. He's going to judge deeds and words. But Jude, he focuses more, as we read in verse in the latter part of verse 15, where he says, and so he focuses not so much on the deeds, which he could if he wanted to, but he focuses on their words. And I got thinking about that. I got thinking along the lines, you know, because we call out the deeds of people, and certainly we could call out what people say. But Jude, he focuses on that. And the verse that just come to mind very quickly is found in one particular place, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus is talking about how a tree is known by its fruit. And then in verse 45, the Lord says this. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So going back to what's in the heart, what's going on inside, what is actually happening within the person. Because we see if the heart is right, then the tree, using that illustration, it's going to bear the good fruit, a good man out of the abundant treasure of his heart. He's going to speak good things. He's going to do good things. He's going to walk in a way that's godly. It's going to be productive in a godly way compared to the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So then the Lord would say, out of the abundance. So what's abundance in the heart of these two individuals of which he illustrates here. Is it the abundance of good? The abundance of what the Lord has placed within, righteousness. That I will speak those things that are righteous and good and holy and God-honoring, God-fearing. Is those the things of which I'll speak? Or on the flip side, not knowing God, and the abundance of my heart is still wicked, and I just want to do those wicked things, living, speaking as such, as having not God at all, then that's what will come out. That's what's going to be manifested. In the Septuagint, I know that's a big word, but it is what it is. It's the Greek Old Testament. So when we start coming into Jesus' time, talk about that time period when Greek culture was at a high, and we see that the Hebrews who were being, we talk about Hellenized, they were falling into the Greco-Roman way of living. Well, they translated the Bible, their Old Testament. It was translated into what they call the Septuagint. And in that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So they took the Hebrew and translated into Greek. So when we talk about these grumblers, because that's what we see next, right? We see these grumblers, and you know, that's vocal. People grumble. Sometimes when they grumble, they may not make any real any words that are intelligible. You know, like I know sometimes, still I shouldn't, but sometimes something, you know, Crystal may say, you need to get out there and get this done, and I might just, you know, it might not be any kind of anything that you could really say. What would you say? But these grumblers, all right, complainers, and that's what we see when we. Is noted, he said, they're grumblers and complainers. That's what they are. So we go back and we can look at some when we talk about this translation that was made to take the Hebrew, the Old Testament, and translating into Greek. We go to Numbers chapter 14, and in Numbers chapter 14, we have the same word that is used there in the book of Jude, and we find that same Greek word used back here when it was translated in chapter 14 of the book of Numbers. And the Bible says here, as the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 26, saying, Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who do what? Complain. And we're talking about the wilderness wanderings, the children of Israel. God's delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians, right? Delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Showed them many miracles, parting of the Red Sea, feeds them with manna, water out of a rock, fire by night, cloud by day, all these amazing things. And people are still what? Israel is still what? They're complaining. And the Lord, as he speaks to Moses and Aaron, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, the Lord says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, all, going back to this, God not leaving one soul out, all of you, book of Jude, all who have done it. Nobody's going to be forgotten. All of you who were numbered according to your number from 20 years old and above, except, and he gives Joshua and Caleb, those are the exceptions. Everybody else, 20 years old and above, you will die in this wilderness because you are the ones who complained against me. You were the grumblers, the complainers. We see that as we look, he uses these two words, Jude does, when we talk about grumblers and complainers. And the word complainer there, it's meaning fault finding or to cast blame on somebody else. So when he speaks about these apostates, this is what they're being judged for. These things of which they speak, they like to grumble. They like to make these so-called complaints about whatever it may be. But then they also, as he says, they are complainers and they like to find fault in everyone else. Everything else that everybody else is doing, they'll find fault in them. And that's why, folks, that we've got to be very careful as we read the pages of the Scripture, and not if we're saved people that we're gonna look to do this, but we can find ourselves if we're not careful. Because the Bible says, as the Lord speaks, he says that it's going to come a time when lawlessness is going to abound. People are going to be this way. We see it all the time. We see craziness going on. We've reached so far, as just a side note here, we've reached so far as a society that now for people that will go in and rob a convenience store or a Lowe's or a Home Depot or any store for that matter, we've come to a place in America, just let them go. Let them take what they want, just let them go. Corporate America doesn't want anything to do with them. So, friends, and that's not just. So what we're saying is now we've reached a place, and you're watching it right before your eyes, we've reached a place where lawlessness is abounding, that people can just run into a store, take whatever they want, and look to have no repercussion. Corporate America is worried that if they do anything and somebody tries to stop them, that they're going to get sued by the criminal who tried to rob them. Is that the most insane thing that you've ever heard? So somebody's stealing from me, they're going to steal from me, and if I try to stop them, then I might end up getting sued by the criminal who was robbing me. But that's where we've come to, right? It happens all the time. Well, I'm watching now, I've been watching a set of videos on individuals, these people, this one poor lady had a job at Lowe's, loved her job at Lowe's, not local, not Pocomoke or Salisbury, but loved her job at Lowe's. She said she testified it was the best job she had had in her life. She loved it. We were all like a family. Everything was good. Somebody tried to leave Lowe's with about $2,000 worth of stuff. They were just going to stroll on out with $2,000. She said, "You ain't leaving my store with $2,000 worth of stuff." She tried to stop them. So instead of her picture being posted up in Lowe's and thanking this lady for taking the steps to guard the store, you know what happened? She got fired. Lowe's fired her. Lowe's fired her for trying to stop somebody from stealing $2,000 out of the store. Just bizarre. So instead of honoring her, doing what is right, saying, "No, you ain't gonna steal this stuff," she got fired. So we've reached this place. You know, you have to scratch your head and say, how in the world did we get here? But lawlessness, the Bible says, will abound. That's what's going to happen. Lawlessness will abound. Justice, out the door. Let them steal. Let them burn everything. It makes no difference. Let them go ahead. We're not going to get involved. Just let them steal. So there's no accountability. Nobody's being held accountable. So if I go down here to the Marion Mall, rob the Dollar General tonight, no accountability. So I'm like, hey, I can just go in and take what I want. I don't have to pay for nothing. Go down to the Family Dollar in Crisfield, go ahead and take what I want out there and just stroll on out. No accountability. I just keep doing this over and over. So there's nothing that is caught, that's pushing back against the tide of lawlessness. And then what we see happening is that people who just want to live right, like that poor soul, that poor woman. And she looked like she should have been retired anyway, the poor thing. But what we see is you got somebody like that that wants to do right. And she tries to do right. And then in doing right, she gets fired. And the Bible says that lawlessness, when that abounds, that the love of many will grow cold. And then we can find ourselves just grumbling and complaining about what's going on in society, right? Just like I've done tonight, complained and run on to you, complaining and grumbling about the nutso stuff that's going on in our society. And the love of many. And then what we find out when the love of many grows cold, then that we won't see anything that is productive, anything that would look to honor God, anybody standing up for others, those kinds of things. It's just crazy what's going on in our world today. But note, friends, that we have to be aware as the church. We have to be the people that will stand up for what is truth, what is right, what is godly. Because if we don't, you can best believe the world won't. Because that's already being demonstrated. The world is not worried about those kinds of things. They would just like to have it just go ahead and do whatever you got to do. Just steal if you want to steal. No repercussions. No accountability. Nobody being held responsible. But for us, we know that there's a time that's coming. Judgment is coming. And Jude says that they walk according to their own lusts. That if I want that big screen TV in Walmart today, I'm just going to walk in there and take it. No big deal. I'll just take it. But we're dealing here with these apostates, these people that were once supposedly church people. And now they've done a 360, or excuse me, a 180. And now what do? They grumble, they complain, they just walk according to their own lust. And then, as we close with, they mouth great swelling words. Great swelling words. They may sound very sophisticated. I like watching, believe it or not, I like watching some of the hearings that go on in Washington. That's interesting. If you're not into that, you can see some interesting stuff going there. And then you will scratch your head about what's going on in this world. They sound very sophisticated when they get up to testify and are asked questions. They're the experts in the field. They've just got it all tied up in a nice box. But bringing it to what we deal with here, these apostates, they can sound very sophisticated. They can come across that they've had this new grand revelation. Some would even go maybe as far as God told me so. I may have once believed that Jesus was the only way, but I've come to understand now that God has revealed to me that Jesus is not the only way. These things that you just have to wonder what is going on for somebody that is like that. And it comes back to the soul need to be born again. Because if we're not, friends, held under that of the control, if we are not walking according to the Spirit of God, if the Spirit is not indwelling that individual, it's either going to be that, or we are held under the sway of the wicked one. And with that, when we hear these individuals, when we hear these folks that, again, sound like they're, again, sophisticated, you know, got some charisma to them, They speak these flattering words. They've received this greatest revelation because they've finally got their degrees, whether master's or PhDs or whatever it's going to be. And they come across, and this is the newest thing. They're now enlightened. But then you listen, and you can see that they are devoid of any true biblical substance. Because when it gets down to it, friends, that's just as we had sang tonight when we talk about standing on the promises of God. That has to be our barometer when you listen to anybody, hear anybody, when we talk about that of spiritual things. We have got to go back to God's Word and make sure these things are so. We've got to look at it and investigate it just as ourselves, just as the Bereans did in the book of Acts. They listened to the Apostle Paul about the resurrection from the dead. They're like, that's new. But the Bible tells us that they went back and they searched the Scriptures to make sure that the things the Apostle Paul said were so. That's the litmus test for it all. Is what being said has true biblical substance. Not just as some who can stand, hold a Bible, read the passage, close the book, you never hear no more from the passage whatsoever, but then they go off on some kind of philosophical rant of which they themselves want to share with the congregation. We want to go to the Scripture, stay in the Scripture, preach the Scripture, and just let that have the final say. Just not trying to Christianize it by reading a passage of Scripture and then going off on some other philosophical idea that has nothing to do with the passage they just read. We want to keep our eyes wide open. We want to be, again, just as those Bereans, searching the Scriptures daily to find out if what is being said is so. Because we know that just as we read here this evening, that God will handle those. He will judge those because of their deeds and because of those things of which they said to flatter people to gain advantage over them. Let's pray this evening.